Well, good morning. It's again a privilege to stand before you here to worship the Lord. And as we begin, why don't we go to Matthew chapter 8, the book of Matthew and chapter 8. And this morning, I'd like to talk to you about faith in the midst of the storm. Faith in the midst of the storm. And we're in Matthew chapter 8 and verses 23 to 27. But before I read them, let's remember where we are. Okay? And Jesus finished his sermon. Then he performed three great miracles. Right, we saw that 2 weeks ago. And the apostles, the disciples are with Jesus and they witness the power of Jesus. So this power of Jesus, it's marvelous. And they've seen it. And they know what he can do. And they know what he's capable of. And Jesus is trying to strengthen their faith through all these miracles to tell them, hey, I am God. I am in control. I know everything. Right? And I have the power to do everything. So he's shown them his power. Now, he then takes a little parenthesis. And there's two guys that come and say, Master, I will follow you anywhere you go. And Jesus says, oh yeah, I don't have a home. I sleep sometimes under the canopy of stars. Are you willing? If you're going to be a disciple, you're going to suffer. Are you willing to follow me? Yeah, and we don't see him getting on the boat with them, right? Another guy says, Master, I'm coming. Let me just bury my father. And you remember what that means. We saw that last week, right? It means wait until I get the inheritance. Wait until my father dies. I get the inheritance. Then I can follow you. We have everything secure. And so Jesus says, let the dead bury their dead. Come and follow me. And we don't see him on the boat either. And so now Jesus gives order to his disciples to cross over to the other side. And they're going to get on the Sea of Galilee, in the Sea of Galilee, and they're going to be on the boat. And there's going to be a test of their faith as they get on the boat. And today I want to show you something. It's been a while since I did one of my crazy experiments, right? When you are in the midst of a difficult situation, those situations will show what is inside of you, all right? It will show what is inside will come up. And so I'm going to show you something, but don't worry about this for now, all right? We're going to go to the text, and I'm going to make some tea here because, I didn't bring water. And so I need something to drink while I'm preaching. But there's another purpose for it. Just forget about the tea. We'll come back to the tea later. But go with me to the text. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm. A great storm on the sea. So that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. And he said to them, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. And the man marveled, saying, what sort of man is this that even winds and sea obey him? Let's ask for the Lord's blessings this morning. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the Word. The Word that not only tells us what to do, but Father, it's also descriptive in telling us what happened, telling us stories about your power and your might and your wonderful mercy and grace to grow our faith. And Lord, as we approach this story, oh Father, Please help us to take to heart the principles that we will learn, that you will create faith in us, that you would strengthen our faith in the storm. Father, we need your grace. We need your mercy, Lord. And I pray for it this morning. I pray for power of the Spirit to speak. Pray for endurance to come to the end of the sermon, having spoken to me and to all of my brethren here. And we'll do everything to your glory by your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. So, when we go through trials, we are exposed to the heat of trials, right? And what I did today is before I came in, I got some boiling water. I went and got some really, really hot water. And I just put a tea bag inside here. And I have two kinds of teas here. I have green tea, right? For all of you health nuts, right? So I have some nice green tea. But I also have a regular brown or whatever you want to call it, black rooibos tea. And I exposed both of them to the heat. And what was inside of each one of them came out. And you see, what came out of each was different. They were both exposed to the same heat. They were both exposed to the same trial to test them, to see what would come out. And both of them came out with different results. This was green. And what was inside of the tea bag came out. And so did with this one. And when the Lord tests us, when he puts us through fire, when he takes us through the storm, he wants to bring something out from us. He wants to bring something good out of us. He wants to strengthen our faith, and he wants to show us as well what is inside of us. So when you're squeezed, when you're in the storm, when you're in the midst of trials, when you're in the midst of temptations, what is inside of you will come out. And let me ask you this morning, when you are tried, when you are tested, what is coming out? When your faithfulness to Jesus is being tested, what is coming out from your heart? And today, I hope it's faith. And I want to talk to you about faith in the midst of the storms. But what is faith? Well, we know what faith is from Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Meaning you don't see, but you believe, right? You don't see the outcome yet. You don't see what will happen, but you trust in God. And fear brings many other things. So that's what faith does. I mean, it trusts through the storm. Fear brings out desperation, anxiety, depression, lack of action, paralysis, right? Anger. They're all results of the same thing, fear. And in the midst of difficulties is when we show what is in our hearts. Is it fear or is it faith? So in this story, Jesus wants to test the faith of those that are his disciples. And he's already tested their faith a little. Let's go in the boat. It's getting dark. It's difficult to navigate. And so they get on the boat. He's tested their faith by saying, follow me. Remember last week we learned that Peter and his brother, they left the nets immediately and they followed him. And so Jesus is going to test their faith. And he wants to show them, if you're going to follow me, I will test your faith. So if I can, I'm having issues here. All right, can you help me with the next slide, please? If you can remember anything from this sermon, the previous slide, you jumped one up. Sorry, I don't know. Was it my clicker that it started working? Can you go to the previous slide, please? There we go. And this is a big idea of the text. Because the Lord will test your faith, You must look at trials with the supernatural eyes of faith. Because the Lord will test your faith, you must look at trials with the supernatural eyes of faith. And so Jesus today wants to help us look at trials, look at difficulties with different eyes. Not with the natural eyes of fear. Because our natural response is to fear. Our natural response is to be afraid. Now there is sinful fear and there is just natural fear. But Jesus wants us to go above the natural and look at trials with the supernatural eyes of faith. The eyes that He has given us. So I'm going to show you a few principles from the text as we go in the story. But think about the story with me for a second, right? So they were just marveled at these great miracles. And they're with Jesus. And they say, Jesus will follow you. They heard Him say to that guy, you will suffer if you come with me because I don't have a home. And I just got me thinking. I've been thinking a lot about it. Where did Jesus sleep for His 3 years of ministry? You ever thought about that? He didn't have a home. He slept under the canopy of stars that He Himself created many times, I'm sure. Like this. On this occasion, they're on a boat and He's sleeping on the boat. See, Jesus has just told him, you're going to suffer if you follow me. And so they're with Him. And Jesus falls asleep. He is tired. He is human. He's gone through a very busy day. It was a long day. Healing this, healing that, healing Peter's mother-in-law, then talking to these guys about what discipleship is, and it's hot in the desert, right? So then Jesus is tired, and He falls asleep on the boat. And they're on their boat, right? On their way to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Then all of a sudden, there's a great wind. There's a great wind, and the wind is so high that the waves are coming over the boat. The boat is filling up with water. And the waves are crashing. And these guys are professional fishermen. They've grown up around the Sea of Galilee. They know that this is a big deal. We're about to die. Jesus. And so they come to Jesus. They have no they don't know what to do. They have no other option. And they just, Jesus, save us. We're perishing. And Jesus is relaxed. In the midst of the storm, He's asleep on the boat. Jesus, save us, please. Jesus gets up and says, oh, why are you afraid? Is that how much faith you have? Why are you afraid? And He gets up. I can only imagine Jesus getting up, looking at the storm right in the eye and say, silent, be still, be peaceful. And immediately, the storm just goes away. The wind goes away. The waves, science tells us as high as 5 or 6 meters can be in that area. They just come down and everything is peaceful. Imagine that miracle. Imagine that sight. And so Jesus asked, where is your faith? I'm here with you. Do you really think that you will perish? And so they marvel and say, what kind of man is this? They've seen His power. Even the sea and the winds obey Him. And so, Jesus wants to teach His disciples several lessons. And the first lesson is that storms will come. Storms will come. So that is our first principle that we will learn in this text. Storms will come. This is not a matter of when. This is a matter of if. The storms... This is not a matter of if, I'm sorry, it's a matter of when. The storms will come. You see, when you put your faith in Christ, you sign up for something difficult. It is not easy. And the first thing you notice is that the disciples are the only ones that get on the boat with him. He invited others, says, follow me. But only the disciples get on the boat with him. And in verse 18, he gave orders to go to the other side. And he even calls a couple of other guys to follow him. But only the disciples are with him on the boat. Perhaps they knew the journey would be difficult. And they said, no, I don't want to sign up for this. And so when you become a Christian, life will be difficult because a Christian life is not easy. And you ought to wonder if your life is so easy, if your Christianity is so light. You got to wonder if you truly are serving Jesus and following him the way you're supposed to, or actually, even beyond that, whether you truly know Jesus Christ. So, storms will come. Jesus has just told them that being a disciple of him will not be easy in any way. And it is just the first test right here. He just told them, I don't have a home. Let the dead bury their dead. We're going without money. Where are you going to trust God? And then so they've just been told that it's not going to be easy. And here comes a big test to see if they got it. Did you get it? It's not going to be easy. Storms will come. Are they going to trust Jesus and follow him? Or are they going to fear in the midst of the storm? And here's a test. So Jesus wants to teach his disciples that if you're going to follow him, your faith will continuously be tested so that it becomes purer and purer and purer. I mean, he's been testing them. And he gives them a greater test now. What is coming out when you are tested? When the Lord brings those storms in your life? When everything is hitting you? When everything seems impossible? When you're going through a lot? What is coming out of you? Is it surprise? Why is this happening, right? Sometimes we wonder that. Why is this happening? If you ask that question to yourself all the time, you probably haven't read your Bible well. Because the Bible says the storms will come. Those who want to live in Christ Jesus righteously will suffer. See, the prosperity gospel preachers have not read this passage, right? Oh, Jesus doesn't want you to suffer. It is not your portion to suffer. And in the Bible, we have example after example after example of people being tested sometimes to the point of dying for Jesus. And some are telling you out there, storms will never come. Things will be easy. Jesus died so you can be healthy and rich. What is good? And then if you have all these storms, you don't have enough faith. But storms will come. Be assured of that. Because you are following a master that was put to death, persecuted, and tried. Storms will come. The second thing we learn. Sometimes, the principles are there. We'll go one by one. Sometimes storms are impossible to survive or seem impossible to survive. Sometimes a storm seems impossible to survive. Look at what the Bible says in verse 24. And behold, there arose a what? A great storm in the sea. So it wasn't just a small storm. It wasn't just a small test. It was actually a big storm. The text also says that the boat was being beaten by the water. And the water was filling up the boat. And the oars are not helping anyone. They can't really paddle anywhere. Because the waves are crashing on the boat. And the boat is beginning to fill. And it feels like they're sinking. And they're going to go down to the bottom of the sea. Which is very deep. Some say up to 50 meters deep. In some of the deepest parts. And so, the boat is being crushed by the waves. And the storm seems impossible for them to survive. And they say, Jesus, we're perishing. Help us. They know they're perishing. They don't think they can survive this storm. And in fact, the word here used in the Greek for the storm is actually not what we would think of a storm. It's the word sismos or seismos. You know what that sounds like? What does that sound like? Like seismic activity, right? So it is a word for it is another word for earthquake. So the ground is the water is shaking, everything is shaking around them, and it's like a big earthquake. And they don't feel like they can survive. And actually, so that's the word for a storm. And the word for great in the Greek is mega. So a mega storm, a huge storm is hitting. And it feels for them that they won't make it. Now remember, these guys are not amateurs, okay? Peter is a professional fisherman. He's been around this sea for a long time. They know how to steer a boat. They know how to navigate. They know how to read the stars. They know how long and how wide and how deep the sea is, because they know it like the back of their hand very well. They've been fishing there for many years. So they know that this storm is very difficult and they probably won't make it. They understood this is a mega storm. This is not an ordinary storm. This is sismos. This is mega sismos. In fact, I'm willing to wager that some of these guys knew people that had died in that sea. They probably had friends that, because of the sudden storms that would come in that sea, they probably had friends that had died before. And they knew, this is probably our time. And guys, my friends, sometimes the storm seems very impossible. Sometimes you feel like you're being hit from every angle. I just lost my job. Now I just lost my mom. Now I just lost everything. And it feels like you won't make it through the storm. And some people, many people feel tempted to abandon ship. Many feel tempted to abandon ship. You know that. How many people in Zambia take their lives? Seems like suicide now comes as a normal thing for many. Throughout my years of ministry, actually in Zambia, I have rescued 3 people in the act of committing suicide. And it seems one of them called himself a minister. And it seems like for some, the easy escape is just abandon ship. And maybe today there's one of you here or more that is thinking about abandoning ship. Jesus stretches out his hand and say, I can give peace. I can calm the storm, but he wants you to learn to trust him. Abandoning ship is just a way of saying, I'm fearful. What is in my life? What is coming out of this test is just fear. It is not trust. It is fear. I've been tested and I'm afraid, so let me just end it and abandon ship. And sometimes the storm seems so impossible to survive, but Jesus is right there next to you. Jesus is there, right there. He's right there next to them. How difficult is your trial? Do you think that as hard as your trial is it impossible for the Lord to be with you, to help you, to deliver you, and to grow you? The storms will come. And sometimes the storms seem difficult or impossible to survive. Look at number 3. The Lord is sovereign over the storm. The Lord is sovereign over the storm. Why is that? Because he's the one that brings them. The Lord brings the storm. Now we're going to spend a little more time here. Now we must understand that he's the maker of heaven and earth. And he controls them and he controls everything in them. The Bible says he upholds the world with the word of his power. So this storm is not outside God's control. He knew. He knew the storm would come. Before they got on the boat, he knew exactly where he was going, what he was doing, what would happen, and he knew that the storm would come because he had already ordained the storm to come. You see, what the Lord is trying to teach him is, he is sovereign. He reigns. He is king over everything, including creation. He reigns. Now, he's the one that told them, let's go over to the other side. He's the one that said, let's go. Look at verse 18. Now when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. Remember last week we learned about how Jesus avoided the crowd. Because Jesus is not looking for a crowd. So he takes his disciples and said, let's go. So he's the one that commanded them to go with him. Did he know the storm? Let me ask you, did he know the storm would come? Did he? He did, right? Did he have the power to stop the storm before it even came to them? He did, didn't he? But he wanted to teach them. Remember our big idea? He wanted to teach them to look at the storm with the eyes of faith, supernatural eyes of faith, not with the natural eyes of fear. He knew. He's in control. He's sovereign. Any storms or trials in your life, in the life of a believer, they've already been ordained by God. He's not surprised when they come. He's always in control. He has the power to stop them, and he will stop them at some point, whether now or in heaven, but he brings the storms to test us. You know, Jesus is not in heaven pacing around, saying, oh my, I didn't realize, oh, I brought the storm. What am I going to do? Yeah, I know I created heavens, but this got out of my control. What am I going to do now? How did I realize? Man, I fell asleep, and I forgot we were on the sea. I should have known better. I should have known that this sea has a lot of storms. Man, what am I going to do now? Jesus is not doing that, right? He has ordained the storms. He controls them. He knows them. Now, what I want you to see here is that Jesus uses regular, ordinary, common things to all men to test us. See, these storms were ordinary. Now, a great storm was extraordinary, but there were storms there all the time. It's a normal thing to witness in the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee was about 20 kilometers by 10 kilometers wide or so. And it was up to 50 meters deep in the deepest part. And it's probably deeper than that and wider than that. That's what it is today, but it was probably a little more than that. Not so much, but a little more than that because of the shifting that has happened there. But this Sea of Galilee is surrounded by mountains. And if you have a chance, you should go and Google and maybe look for pictures of the Sea of Galilee. And you will see a lot of mountains around it. Some of them are 300 meters high. A couple of them are 200 meters high. There was one that's about 500 meters high. And this mountain gets snow in the winter at the peak of the mountain. But because the sea is actually in a valley, and the sea is actually about 200 meters below sea level, the Sea of Galilee. So it's about 200 meters below sea level. So now imagine, right? And when a wind comes from the mountains, it comes down to the sea, and it creates this kind of funnel. And so the wind gets violent there, and it moves the waves a lot. So these people knew how to steer boats in the midst of storms. They knew how to steer boats in the midst of wind. Sometimes it wasn't raining, it was just wind. This time was a storm with wind. So it's an ordinary thing. They happen. And so Jesus uses things in our lives. Jesus uses things in our lives, such as illnesses, at the seas, right? Financial problems. Or anything else common to all men to test our faith. There is nothing that you suffer that somebody else has not suffered before. or that another Christian has not suffered. And most of the suffering that you have gone through or that you go through, Jesus already passed that test for us when he was here on earth. So when you see, we have different buttons, right? And the Lord pushes those buttons to test us. For some, it's a button of financial issues, right? Some of you get terrified when your bank account goes down a little. Some of you get terrified because you don't know where you're going to get money to pay for some things you need to pay for. For some others, it's disease, right? The button of fear of disease. COVID-19 just exposed the fear in the hearts of many, right? That was a big button for some. It was a big button. And the Lord was pushing it. You think the Lord was already in heaven pacing? Oh, I forgot about COVID. Oh my, I didn't know that, you know, that this disease happened. Oh, sorry, my child. Yeah, stay home, stay home. Don't go to church. Yeah. No, not the Lord knew. And the button, the Lord pushed the button to show what is in our heart. So for some, the button of family, right? For some is being alone, being abandoned. For some is a temptation. You see, the Lord uses our temptations as Christians to test us as well. You know, so do you think the Lord does not know about the financial struggles you're having right now? Do you think that the Lord doesn't know that your husband is treating you very badly? Did you not know? Do you think that the Lord doesn't know that your wife does not respect you? Do you think he's surprised by the disease or illness that you have been fighting with? Do you think that he's surprised that you lost your family member? The Lord is sovereign. The Lord is in control of the storm. He brings the storms. And we ask why? Because he wants us to look at the storms with different eyes, not with the natural eyes of fear, but with the supernatural eyes of faith. He wants you to trust him. Our natural response is to fear, but God wants you not to be paralyzed by fear, but to trust him. And you see, the storms of life speak to us. And they tell us, hey, I'm in control, right? The storm was speaking to the disciples. The storm was telling them, I'm going to break your boat in pieces. And you're going to drown. And you're going to fall. And you're going to be in the sea, in the bottom of the sea. You're going to die right now. Oh, Jesus, save us, save us. Storms speak to us, right? Oh, I'm in control. I will break you in pieces. The storm is speaking to us, but Jesus speaks to us and says, I'm the one that controls the storm. I'm the king of the universe. I foreordained the storm. Who are you going to listen to? See, we spend so much time listening to ourselves, right? We spend so much time listening to ourselves, and we don't spend enough time listening to Jesus or preaching to us the truths of Jesus. It's like, you know, when Jesus stood before Pilate, do you remember? They're accusing him. The Jews are bringing all kinds of accusations against him, and they say, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate says, are you not going to answer? Pilate says, don't you know that I have the power to set you free or to crucify you? And this is what life does to us, right? Don't you know I can destroy your family? Don't you know I can take everything from you? Don't you know I'm in control? I will break you like a little twig. And what did Jesus answer Pilate? You would have no power over me if it had not been given to you from above. And that's what we can say to the storm. You have not power over me unless it's given from above. You don't control it. My Jesus does. He is a king. And you have seen it happen to others maybe. It is a genuine threat. But Jesus is in control. Now, we need to understand. Look, there's a difference between trial and temptation. Okay, trials are from the point of view from the side of God, right? So he is the one that tests us. The devil wants to tempt us, right? He wants to tempt us. He wants to use that test as a temptation for us to fear and to respond the wrong way. But sometimes Jesus even uses temptations to test us. But over all that, God is in control. God is in control. God never tests us. I mean, God never tempts us. But He allows temptation to happen. He's in control to see whether we trust Him. He's in control of everything. I mean, for me, temptations are sometimes big trials. I get tired sometimes of my sin. And sometimes the battle with a temptation gets very heated. And if you're a Christian, I hope you're battling temptation. And that is a big test. And that is a big trial. And don't you feel like the devil is just throwing all these darts of fire at you. And you're just barely holding on to the shield of faith, right? And the fire is coming, and the fire is coming. But you endure, and you trust Jesus. And that is a great test. What are you going to do in the midst of temptations? The Lord wants to use it to grow your faith. You see, brethren, throughout our lives, we make assessments of every circumstance, right? We look at the storm and say, oh, this one is difficult. This one is frightening. I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to survive. We're assessing with the eyes of fear. But Jesus wants you to assess with the eyes of faith. He wants you to look at things differently. Now, the Lord is sovereign over the storms. We learn storms will come. Storms seem impossible. The Lord is sovereign. Now look at number four. Number four. The Lord knows how much of the storm you can handle. He knows how much of the storm you can handle. He stops the storm exactly at the right moment. The disciples are scared. And they're about to sink. They're about to sink. And Jesus now tested them. And now He's done showing them what is in their heart. So He stops the storm at the right moment. And He knows when that moment is. When the boat couldn't hold any more water. When the boat couldn't, you know, survive the waves anymore. When the disciples are at the point of breaking. The Lord stops the storm. He knows when. He's also sovereign over how much pain we go through and how much pain we can endure. Not everybody can endure the same amount of pain. Some of us are very weak. Right? Some of us are big wimps, right? And endure very little. Oh, somebody said something bad about me. Your life is coming to an end because somebody criticized you, right? For some of you, it's like your life will come to an end if somebody says something bad about you. So, not everybody endures the same pain. But now some people can endure some trials and some trials seem very difficult. It is not for us to judge which trial is difficult and which one is not, because we're seeing it through our eyes, not the eyes of the other person, right? But the Lord knows in your life how much pain He'll bring, how much testing He'll do, because He knows He's sovereign. He knows how much of the storm you can handle. I mean, some of the disciples were professional fishermen, so they could handle a storm better than most. They knew how to steer the boat because they've been in these winds all their lives, so they knew how to get over to the side where it was safe. But now, they realize. See, an amateur probably couldn't have survived that long. A person that didn't know how to steer a boat in that difficult wind probably wouldn't have survived as long as the disciples did. But they look at this one and they said, this is real danger. This is a real danger storm. It was a huge deal. This is a real threat to our lives. And sometimes there are things that shouldn't really terrify us. But sometimes, you know, people have fears. There are so much part of them, and they shouldn't be fearful. See, the disciples knew Jesus is there. Why are you terrified? Sometimes we're like that, right? There are things that shouldn't really terrify us. But they do. And because we live in fear. See, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, actually, let me just read it to you. 1 Corinthians 10:31. The Bible reads, you don't have to go there, I'll just read it for you. Not 10:31, I'm sorry. It's I have the 10:13, I'm sorry. 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. But God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. See, he knows how much you can take, and he will give the solution as well. See, there's another thing worth noting here. This story is actually mentioned in two other Gospels, Mark and Luke, and it's almost exactly the same. But if you go with me to Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 4, don't lose your place here in Matthew. Mark chapter 4, so both Matthew, Mark, and Luke record almost the same thing. I think I was reading a commentary and it said there's only like 27 words that are different, you know, among the three of them. So it's almost similar. Look at Mark 4 and verse 38. But he, Jesus, as the storm is going on, he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Do you not care that we are perishing?" And one of the evidences of fear in our lives is in the midst of the storm is when we complain, right? And what are they saying to Jesus? "You don't care, Jesus. Do you not care? How can you be so peaceful like that? Do you not care about the situation?" And don't we feel that way? Don't we feel like Jesus doesn't care sometimes? Where is God, we ask? You're going through this heat. You're going through this difficulty. You're going through the storm of life. And you're like, "Where are you, Lord? Why are you not here? Don't you care about me?" Oh, Jesus doesn't care about me. How can he let me pass through all this? And we are sometimes like the disciples, fearful. And we say, "Jesus, why don't you care about me?" When we complain in the midst of storm, we show that there is fear. Do you know what the Bible says? Love casts all fear. The Lord loves you. And when you get a grip of the fact that God loves you unconditionally, that will cast out your fear. He's in control. He knows how much you can handle. He knows. He's not pacing in heaven trying to figure out why the storm came. He knows how much you can handle right now. No matter what I see with my eyes, Jesus is there with me. So I have to look at trials through his eyes, the supernatural eyes of faith. And when we hear him, I mean, in the midst of circumstances, we are consumed with ourselves. We are consumed with our circumstances and we accuse God of not caring, right? But we can hear the small still voice. It's mostly a voice saying, "I'm here, oh you of little faith. Oh you of little, why are you afraid? I am here. I want you to see things through my eyes, through the eyes of faith, not through fear." No matter what my eyes see, no matter what your eyes see, God wants you to see differently. With the eyes of the Bible, with the eyes of faith. Look at number 5. Let's go to the next slide. Look at number 5. These are shorter. The Lord uses the storm to show what is in your heart. The Lord uses the storm to show what is in your heart. He is sovereign, and this is the main point, actually. The Lord wants to show you your heart. The storm is meant as a test of your faith. The storm was meant as a test of the disciples' faith. They just saw Jesus' power. He healed people. They saw his power. Let's see if they truly understand how powerful I am. Let's see if they truly trust in me. Let's go over to the other side and let me bring a storm. He wants to show what is in their heart. Unfortunately, there was not trust yet. Look, Jesus tests his disciples up to the end. He tested them again when Peter walked on water. You remember? "Hey, it's me. Well, if it's you, let me come. So he comes, and you know, he's got the faith at the beginning, but then the storm gets harder, it gets worse, and it gets tougher, and guess what begins to happen? He's afraid of the waves, and he begins to sink. And so Jesus is testing them. He tests them when he's arrested, and guess what they all do? They all run away. They all run away. He's testing Peter again. When a little slave girl says, I know you were with him. No, I was not. Then she again, oh no, I definitely you are. No, I was not. Even your speech gives you away. And he starts cursing, saying, I was not with them. Again, there was fear. But all these tests made the faith of the disciples very strong. See, there was fear was coming out every time, until the Lord taught them that they need to look at tests with the eyes of faith. And then we see him in the book of Acts, and we see him preaching. We see Peter in Acts 2. He gets up in front of all these people, and he preaches. These people are not drunk. They have the Holy Spirit, and he preaches that Jesus is the Messiah, and 3,000 get converted. And when you read this kind of story, it seems kind of cruel, right? This boat story, the storm story. Because, I mean, Jesus tells him to get on the boat. He knows the storm is coming. He knows they're going to be terrified in the storm. Why wait until that happened? Why wait until they're terrified for him to calm the storm? Because he's taking them to school. He's teaching them to trust. He's teaching them to look at difficulties with the supernatural eyes of faith and not with the natural eyes of fear. He's exposing what is in their hearts so that they can be the men that God wants them to be, so that they can be the men of the book of Acts that are willing to lay their lives for Jesus. And in fact, all of the disciples except for John died for Jesus. But it took them going, going through the school of trials. He wants to graduate him to a proper understanding of faith. The storm is just a testing grounds. These men will soon stand before tribunals, and the mobs will judge them. These men will soon be persecuted by the same people that put the Lord to death. And the history tells us that they died the same way Jesus died, because of their faith. You see, brethren, when Jesus said in verse 26, why are you afraid? It was not just a rebuke. He's rebuking, but it was not just a rebuke. He's exposing an area of their lives and needs growth. He's saying, why are you afraid? It's like saying, you are afraid. He's stating the obvious. It's a rhetorical question. And when he asked, why are you afraid? He's already answered the question. You of little faith. Why are you afraid? Because you don't have faith. Because you don't trust the Lord. He exposed their heart and the fact that they lacked faith. I mean, look, they didn't respond to trials with supernatural eyes of faith. You see, my Christian friends, when you give your life to the Lord and you surrender your life to Him so that He sovereignly cares for your life, something new comes into your life, and that is faith. That is supernatural. The Bible says that you have been saved by grace through faith, and this is not of you. It is a gift from God. Faith is not of you. It's a supernatural work that comes through after regeneration in your life, and you're able to have faith, and it is something that God gives you. He wants to build your faith. And fear is just an evidence of unbelief. That is why the Lord wants to deal with it. That's why He's showing you your heart. Now look at the sixth one. The Lord Jesus Christ is our highest example of faith. How is that? He's sleeping on the boat. How can you sleep in the midst of the storm? Because He has faith. Remember, He's also 100% human, huh? He's tired. But He knows His Father. He knows His loving Father. He is our highest example of faith. So brethren, as we go through life, as we go through the storms of life, and as we need faith, we look at the greatest example of faith, Jesus Christ. We must trust in Him. He's able to help us in the midst of difficulties. Did you know that the Bible says 365 times, do not fear? 365 times. See, Jesus has given you promises, okay? Jesus has given you promises. He says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Isaiah 41:10. He says in Joshua 1, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Psalm 46:7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Matthew 28:20, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Hebrews 13:5, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. See, the Holy Spirit indwells you. Jesus indwells you. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is with you. The disciples should have known he's right there. He's right there. He's given you promises. He's the greatest example of faith. But he has given you promise that he is with you. He's right there with you. See, sometimes we think that we gotta feel the presence. Oh, I don't feel God's presence right now. It doesn't matter if you feel it. He has promised. You have something greater than just a feeling of his presence. You have a promise from the God of the universe that he is right there with you. He has given you the promise. What are you gonna do with that promise? Are you gonna believe it or are you gonna disbelieve? He's with you. You can trust Jesus. Look at number seven, and this is our last point. The Lord will eventually bring peace. He wakes up, and he teaches the lessons to his disciples. And Matthew says in verse 26, and he said to them, why are you afraid of your little faith? Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Last point, he will eventually bring peace, whether in this life, whether soon, or whether in heaven. Mark records it this way, and he awoke and rebuked the winds and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now, there was a great storm first, and then there was a great calm. That's what Jesus brings. When the Lord is done with the test, he will bring the peace, especially if you pass the test and show faith. Look, he will deliver you in the storm. He will deliver you in the storm. Or he will deliver you through the storm to heaven. Either way, you will have peace. Either way, he says, I will make peace for you. That's our God. He will bring peace eventually. Just trust in him. You see the storm? The storm happens almost at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and he's trying to tell his disciples something. I can bring peace. I am the Lord of the storm. I am with you. You have learned that you have now learned to show trust in me. So from here on now, remember that I am there. Remember that I can be trusted. Remember that I am in control, and remember that I will bring peace. And Matthew ends in verse 27, the disciples are marvel. Verse 27 shows us a contrast between the powerful Lord and the powerless disciples. Trust in the power of Jesus. Now let me end with a story. There is a story in the book of Kings, 2 Kings chapter 6. And there's a prophet, Elisha. Elisha is the prophet of Israel. And Israel doesn't have a very good king, but the Lord is merciful. And so the king of Syria wants to destroy Israel. And so in secret, the king of Syria is plotting with his generals how we're going to destroy Israel. So in secret, they go, they take the army, and they camp at a place to attack Israel by surprise. But the Lord is telling Elisha what the plans of the king of Syria are. And so Elisha comes and tells the king of Israel in secret, hey, these guys are going to camp over there, so make sure we're not there. And so they're delivered. So then the king of Syria again plans another plot, and he goes and does it again. And then Elisha gets a word from the Lord, and he delivers Israel again. And so the king of Syria calls his generals, okay, which one of you is a mole? Right? There's a mole here. Which one of you is telling on me? I'm going to put you to death. So one of the generals says, no, king. There is a prophet. There's a man of God in Israel. And the Lord reveals to him, this is what the text says, what you plot in your bedroom in secret. Okay, let's go find that guy, right? Let's go with the whole army to where the guy is, and let's all kill that guy, and then we destroy Israel. So the king gathers his generals, gathers his army, and they go towards Elisha. And Elisha, relaxed. I always want to think he's sleeping. No big deal. And the servant of Elisha sees the army coming from afar at Elijah's home. And look at what the text says. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? Elisha said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. It's just the two of us against an army. What do you mean those who are with us are more? Are you kidding me? We're alone in this storm. Then Elisha prayed and said, oh Lord, please open his eyes that he might see. Now, he's seeing, right? With the natural eyes. But Elijah is praying for the Lord to open his supernatural eyes of faith. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. I can only imagine that sight. Now you know, my boy, those who are with us are more. You see all these chariots of fire? What can this little army do? God opened his eyes. Brethren, the Lord wants you to see trials with the supernatural eyes of faith, not the natural eyes of fear. Can't you hear the voice of God right now saying, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid, oh you little faith? Is the Lord saying that to you right now? Maybe today you need to repent of being fearful. Maybe today you need to ask the Lord to give you the trust in Him that you need in the midst of difficult situations. The lightning of trial is coming. The thunder of difficulties are hitting. The rain of distress is upon you. And the winds of terror are hitting all over you. But the Lord of the storm says, peace, be still. Why are you afraid of your little faith? Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, give us faith. We beg you in the name of Jesus. Give us faith. Oh, how much we fear, Lord. We fear, therefore, we're angry. We fear, therefore, we're anxious. We fear, therefore, we're stressed and depressed. We fear, and some are even abandoning ship. Oh, Lord, give us faith. Help us to trust you. Reveal our hearts to us so that our hearts may be tuned to you. As we go through the storms, we don't ask you to remove the storms, but we ask you to give us peace. We ask you to give us trust. We ask you to give us faith so that your name may be glorified in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.